Take your Bibles now and go to the book of Psalms.
Don't pay much, don't get much.
Shoo-wee. Psalms chapter 18. Be reading verses 30 through verse 35 responsively this evening. Psalms chapter 18, verses 30 through verse 35. I'll read verse number 30. You'll join me on verse 31 and so on. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 18, verse number 30, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again, Lord, for all that you've done in our midst today. Lord, your Spirit has been here. Lord, we need it once again, Lord, afresh and anew this evening. Lord, never again will we be here tonight, Lord, with the burdens that we have, Lord, with the opportunity that you've given us. Lord, please help us to take every moment that you've given us, Lord, and use it to the fullest of our ability. Lord, may we use this evening, Lord, to receive strength, Lord, to take this word, to make us closer to you, to be able to do more for you. Lord, we ask that you use our preacher this evening. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to keep your Bibles open there. We'll come back to it in just a moment here. But let me say, I am glad that Grace Baptist Church is a manly church. I'm glad that we promote boys who ought to grow up and know that they're a boy and a man. They don't have to wonder which bathroom to go into. I'm glad that we've got good, strong, successful, hardworking men here at our church. I really am. The world has done what it can in the last 40, 50 years to try to destroy manhood. Hollywood started back in the late 60s, early 70s, trying to make men look like a bunch of bumbling idiots, and has done a pretty good job of turning a bunch of men into bumbling idiots. But I also thank God for our sweet ladies here at our church. The spirit of our church is wonderful. Can I tell you why? Ladies help set an atmosphere. But men do too. The ladies of our church are just amazing. We don't have little cliques, little groups of ladies, you know, us four no more and you stay out, you know, like a bunch of little high school girls. It's not that way. Now, they still go to the bathroom in herds, but that's okay. Thank God men don't go to the bathroom in herds. Men don't look at each other and say, "Let's go to the bathroom." If one does, they're going outside getting shot. Or they're getting shot and drug outside. Behind and beside every tough man is a tougher woman. I mean that. You say, "Why? Keep you whooped in place." By the way, I believe, in the truest sense, I believe the ladies of our church are elevated to the level they're supposed to be. They're not talked down, they're lifted up. They're protected. Now, real men elevate the role of a lady. They don't despise it. I'm glad we have a manly church here, but men, I'm glad we got men that when you shake their hand, you can tell they've been working. It's strong, it's chapped. It's a man's hand. Now, if I grab into a man's hand and it feels like a dead hot dog, there's just something wrong with that. Y'all, you men know what I'm talking about? You say, "What do? You just crush it a little bit more." There's just something wrong with that. I'm glad, and I work with our boys, our bus boys, and I'm teaching. When I stand at the front door every Sunday morning, I'm teaching them to shake hands. You say, "Why is that?" Because I want them to be men. I believe in that. Now, by the way, I'm glad we've got some men that are in their senior years that are still manly men. Now, do me a favor. If they're over about 70, don't grab their hand and rip it off, fellas. All right? You're not in a squeezing contest. This isn't a cow milking thing here. All right? Some of these older fellas got arthritis in their hands real bad, and you don't know what kind of pain you go through. Be gentle on the white hair, amen, and the no hair. Yeah, and a couple of them dudes are tough enough, they'll beat the snot out of you. It might take them a while to recover from it, but they'll whip you, all right? Now, I'm glad we got older men that think they're 30 years younger than they are. Right, Brother Larry? he turned a year older yesterday. Now, God makes a statement here in Psalm 18 that is just one of the most amazing statements to me. Very end of the verse, and it says, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." Thy gentleness hath made me great. God uses King David here, and David is being, for all intents and purposes, talking, and he says, "God, you're my rock, you're my strength, you're my salvation, you're my buckler, you're my shield, I'm a warrior, you're all of everything that I am. It's because of you." And at the very end, it says, "But your gentleness made me great." That's a pretty powerful statement. That to me says, well, first of all, David wasn't part of the alphabet soup crowd. Amen. He didn't wiggle when he walked. There were men that were afraid of David. There were nations that were afraid of David. Kind of like President Trump. Kind of like the difference between this president and the last one. Everybody laughed at the last one. Everybody fears at this one. We don't think the world ought to fear our president. I think the world ought to fear our president. The toughest one keeps peace. You don't play king of the mountain by being a sissy. We called it smear the alphabet soup. I can't say that word. But David was a warrior. He was a strong man. He was a leader of men. He was a leader of leaders of men. And there was no sissy in King David. Amen. From the time he was a teenage boy, he didn't back down from a giant. Right. And by the time at 17 years old, the Bible says he had already killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands. Yes. Now, I've wrestled a few things before, but not a lion and not a bear, and I have no intentions of doing that. You say, why? Because I have better sense than that. Now, I didn't say, well, I want you to notice God says, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." He didn't say, "The sissification of man hath made me great." He said, "Thy gentleness hath made thee great." God said, there is greatness, there is power in gentleness. Boys and men are very good at breaking things. Amen. And they enjoy it. There's something bred in the male DNA that says if it's built, I can tear it down. Amen. I don't know what it is. One of the first toys that you give a boy is what? A hammer. You know, they used to have those little plastic ones with the little spikes, you know, bam, 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 and then they start tearing the plastic station apart. Then they start jumping on it. They want to find out how much it'll take, you know. It's just inbred in the male DNA that hammers are good, guns are good, and if it's been put together, I can tear it apart somehow, some way. Not the way it was put together, but I'll get it apart. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Look at the pile of broken toys in your basement or garage or your broken tools. That one hurt, didn't it? Now, I like that it's almost like we're wired that way. Now, having the power or the ability to break something and choosing not to use it is gentleness. See, gentleness isn't the inability to be strong. It's using your strength to not crush something. Amen. Okay, men, you can holler amen on this. Gentleness is when you're decorating the Christmas tree, you don't use the Christmas tree bulbs as baseballs and throw them across the living room and find out how many pieces you can get them in. See, how do you know that? None of your business. But I learned real quick, you don't do that with some of those. It ends up warming a certain part of the anatomy that you didn't want warmed up. Gentleness is teaching somebody, you have the power to destroy this, but don't. And God says, thy gentleness hath made me great. Just because you have the ability to overpower somebody, gentleness is not overpowering them. God tells us that gentleness is greatness. Not destroying something is greatness. God says gentleness, not loudness, not barbaricism, not battle hardness, is greatness. There are men that work office jobs that are great because they're gentle. It doesn't mean that they're going to go out and lift 400 pounds of steel every day. But they're still great in God's eyes. But there are men that can go out there and bend 400 pounds of steel every day, and they're gentle too.
Right.
You can be big and strong. Ask Brother Sam to help you pick something up. They called him the mule for a reason. He and Brother Josh and Brother Joe and I went to go get a piano a couple, six, 8 weeks ago or more. I thought, man, I'm going to help these guys. We got to the doorway. Brother Sam says, it's okay, preacher. Whoomp, picks it up. He said, Brother Josh, you got the other end? And Brother Josh says, yeah. If he could have put a handle in the middle and got it, I think he could have just picked it up and carried it for us. Thinking, thank God I called Brother Sam. And yet, you won't find a more gentle man than Brother Sam. You say, why? He has the ability to crush. Yes. Does he use it? No. Not unless he needs to. You're not great because you can whoop six men. You're great because you can whoop six men and you choose not to. And please don't take this the wrong way. Any old fool can get in a fight. It doesn't take anything to fight. You can pick a fight real quick. I could get one broke out here in about 30 seconds. I promise you. It wouldn't take long at all. Now, I don't want to be a part of it, but I could get it broke out. Say, why? I'm old enough, know better. Wait a minute. God says, God calls gentleness greatness. Now, listen to me. Let me give you a few thoughts tonight, and I want to show you something here that will help you. And by the way, notice it says, God's gentleness made David great. It says, thy gentleness made me great. Aren't you glad God doesn't treat you like you treat everybody else? Aren't you glad God doesn't treat you with the same unkindness about sin as some of us treat each other? God didn't have to make heaven available for us. God didn't have to promise us anything other than the moment we're born to die and go to hell. And yet his gentleness makes us great. So number one, we're to be gentle because many are not as strong as we are. We're to be gentle because not as many are strong as we are. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to use our Bibles just a little bit. And don't close them because we're going to go to several other verses here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm going to show you a verse here. Verse number 7. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Did you know that an adult is stronger than a baby? An infant needs someone who is strong to care for them when they're not strong enough to care for themselves. Men, you remember the first time you held that little baby in your arms? You had the ability to crush that child's life, but you protected it. There are days when they became teenagers, you wondered why you protected it and wished you wouldn't have at times. But you still protected it. You say, what is that? Gentleness. Remember how you felt when they put that pink, wiggly, ugly thing in your arms that first time and you thought, the responsibility factor just went through the roof. And the fear. Say, I'm not real comfortable. You know, I might break it. Remember making statements like that? Yeah. Say, why? Because you're used to being rough, and now you got to be gentle. Could you have broken it? Of course. But it takes gentleness to care for it. The infant needs someone strong to care for them because they're not strong enough to care for themselves. Strength is supposed to care for the weak. The weak are not supposed to take care of the strong.
Right.
Let me say that again. The strong are to take care of the weak. The weak are to not care for the strong. One of the fallacies of socialism and communism, Bernie Sandersism and Nancy Pelosiism, say, what is that death? Slow, painful death. They want the weak to take care of the strong by telling you that the strong are going to take care of the weak. Let's take everybody's wealth, take it away, give it to people who will not work, and make everybody the same. That will be fair for everybody down here. How's that fair to the people up here? Homeless people don't hire anybody. It takes wealth for capitalism to work. Why is it okay for Nancy Pelosi to live in a $24 million home with walls in San Francisco? And everybody else lives in a box on the street using the sidewalk for a toilet. She doesn't want her wealth taken. She wants to take everybody else's, have the weak serve the strong, which is her, and make it look like these people are taking care of the weak. No, what happens is you take the incentive away to work and to make wealth, then everybody's poor. Show me one country that has socialism or communism that has wealth amongst its people. You'll find none. Never has worked, never will work. They tell you that the strong are going to care for the weak. That's why they're rewriting the history books in America, folks. They're trying to get rid of Civil War history because they want to be the slave masters. The politicians want to be the slave masters. We're going to be the slaves. The right to bear arms had nothing to do with hunting. It had the right to bear arms against your own government.
Amen.
Strength is used to protect life, not destroy it. Let me say that again. Strength is used to protect life, not to destroy it. The abortion crowd is not strong. They're weakening themselves and our nation. Do you know that we have aborted our way into financial ruin? 36 million taxpayers have been murdered in abortion. Throw 36 million people into the work world paying taxes. What would that do to the economy in America? We don't understand how much abortion costs us. Not just medically, not just emotionally, but financially. Strength is used to protect life, not take life. You protect life by strength. Strength does not get upset that the weak are weak. Did you know you don't get mad at the baby because the baby is a baby? Let me show you the kind of people that do. That's when the baby starts crying and somebody gets so upset that they shake them to death. That's someone who's weak, not someone who's strong. It's called shaken baby syndrome. They'll literally shake a baby so hard that it loosens the brain from the neurological connections in their neck, and they're lifeless, or they live as a vegetable the rest of their life. You say, why is that? Because somebody's strung out on drugs or alcohol and doesn't want to hear the baby cry, so they'll shake it and shake it and shake it and shake it until they murder the baby. You say, I don't think you ought to talk that way, preacher. Well, they're not strong, they're weak. Strength will protect them. It does not take it away. So, by the way, let me put it down on the bottom shelf where we live. As a Christian, guess what? We're going to have weak Christians in our church. If we're doing our job, we're always going to have weak Christians in our church.
Right.
Let's not get upset with them because they're weak.
Amen.
Just because you've been saved 50, 60, 70 years doesn't mean they have. For some of them, this is brand new stuff. Shazam! I had three new men at prayer breakfast yesterday. I was excited about it. I had one there that he hadn't totally given up drinking yet, but he was at prayer breakfast. Now he's working at it. I got men that haven't touched liquor in 30 years that wouldn't show up prayer breakfast though. Ouch. Sorry. And I realize not everybody can be there. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, I'll take the weak Christian. We'll turn him into something strong. Isn't that what a hospital is? You don't go there because you're feeling good. God knows you don't go there because you're feeling good. And if you think about it, if you're feeling bad, why would you want to go where other people are feeling bad? But it's there. Number two, gentle people are the healers and the teachers. Gentle people are the healers and the teachers. Turn to 2 Timothy, just a couple pages over there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse number 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be what? Gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I'm going to make a statement here. Gentle people rescue people from the snares of the devil. I preach strong. I preach hard. But I love as deeply and as strongly as I preach. Say why? Because we've got to rescue the perishing. We've got to snatch them from the snares of the devil. Sometimes, okay, you men know what I'm talking about. Did you ever break up a fight? Did you ever see two guys going at it? They're like crazed animals. And you got to get in their grill. You got to say, hey, look at me. Huh? If you can get them to stop long enough to look at you, you can stop the fight. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I've been through a lot of those. If you can just get them to stop long enough to concentrate on something other than their rage, you can generally stop it. Say, why is that? Because you've got them focused on something. They're focused on weakness. You've got to get them focused on strength. And when they'll focus on strength, they'll quit their weakness. That's what it is. You see, we've got to rescue those that are perishing. Be patient with the bus kids. Be patient with the church kids. They don't know everything. Be patient with new Christians in our church. For some of them, this is a brand new language. Literally, in the last couple months, we had a person got saved, came to our church, getting involved. They said, now this brother thing, are all those people related to you? I smiled and I said, kinda. But not the West Virginia way. And he looked at me, and I began to, he said, oh, okay, that makes sense. It was a whole new language for him, trust me. Brother Juan, you went to youth conference. That was a whole new experience in life, wasn't it? You haven't lived till you've been to a youth conference, trust me. You're not sure whether you're living or dying, but you haven't lived at least till you got there. Now, wait a minute. Strength is fully understanding a position and not backing down. But it's not beating the snot out of somebody because they're not in your position. There's nobody in here that drives themselves harder spiritually than I do, probably. But there's going to be nobody more patient with you, whether you are living where I'm at or not. Say, why? That's my job. I should be stronger than you, shouldn't I? I should be in that book more than you are. I should know it better than you do. But at the same time, I'm not going to be, come on, get up to speed, you bunch of worthless idiots. I've been around preachers like that. Oh, my soul. Those are the kind of guys I get away from real quick. I call them cowboys. God commanded me to be a shepherd and lead out front. He didn't command me to be a cowboy and crack the whip behind them and get them running. Too many preachers are cowboys. They're not shepherds. They don't walk point. They don't protect. They don't gently lead. Strength is fully understanding your position, but not beating the snot out of somebody because they don't hold it. Don't take this the wrong. I don't have a lot of preachers in the area here that I associate with. Number one, I'm too busy. I got a dear friend, God bless his pitiful heart. He goes to a preacher's fellowship every month. So we'll just pray that we can encourage each other. And I'm thinking, dude, all the time and all the money you spend at those fellowships, get in your office and get on your face before God and let God encourage you. Go out and go soul winning and get somebody saved. I'll promise you that'll charge you up more than any stupid preacher's fellowship. So you're going to do is sit and eat donuts and drink coffee and gossip. Hear somebody preach about something that you ought to be doing anyway. I don't go to those things. I'm not part of the, what do they call that? The ministerial association. I call it the ministerial assassination. We're not going to be so community-minded that we invite all the other churches and let's just have a unification service and sing kumbaya, barf. I just can't do that. God didn't command that. You don't find all those churches in the same city getting along with each other. They just went out and built churches. That's why we're a church. Independent means we don't need anybody else. We're fundamental. We're going to follow the fundamentals whether somebody else does or not. I'm not going to preach against them necessarily. But I don't need to go run to have fellowships. I had a preacher tell me one day, well, you need to get to know all the local pastors so that you can have friends. I said, that's what my church is for. I said, just because you don't have friends in your church doesn't mean I don't. He didn't call me after that. Couldn't figure that out. The word gentle means mild or kind in speech. It doesn't mean wishy-washy in position. I'm not changing my position for anybody, but I don't have to have a bad disposition while I stand in my position. I can smile while I stand on the promises. But I'm going to fight the devil tooth and nail so that he doesn't come on the premises. And I'm not afraid of it. Everybody doing okay? How we react in our word reveals our gentleness. Okay, men, I'm not going to look at you. When the wife says something and you have the ability to scream and holler, then you're not gentle. How are you going to handle it? And see, you can't say I was preaching to you. I was preaching to the wall. Actually, there's a mirror back there, and I was looking at myself. But you might have the ability, well, bless God, I'm the man, and what I say goes. Okay, you're not gentle. You can get in a cage and beat your chest. That doesn't make you a monkey. You know, you may as well, because that's what you're acting like. Folks, we need to learn, I have that ability, but I choose not to. I don't mind you asking, Brother Josh, Mrs. Barnes. I don't think I'm a hard person to work for or with. I rarely, if ever, have to say, we are doing this this way, don't care what you think. I don't think I've ever said that to you. Not one time. I don't think, as your boss, I've ever said that. I can't say that as a dad. When you're rearing kids, it's a little different. But hey, you notice I pre-qualified that, amen? But as his boss, I give them a lot of latitude. I might say, this needs to be done, but we're going to have to hurry it. I need it in the next 3 or 4 days. Now, a hurry to me is 3 or 4 days. To you, I needed it yesterday. But I might say, can we get this by such and such? Oh, yes. I don't micromanage them. Say, why? You hire the right people, you don't have to. Now, I check on it. I'm constantly checking. And I know who's got what, when they got it, what to do, when it needs done, this, that, the other thing. That's okay. Keep it all wound up in my head, and it's not a problem. But I'm not thinking about it constantly, other than I'm going to make sure it's going to be done. But I don't walk around beating on everybody saying, well, this has got to be done this way. I rarely say something has to be done a certain way even. I might say, now, there's a certain part of this, you might need to handle this a little gently. If you want some help, let me know. Good night. You think I'm going to tell her how to organize her computer? I can't even turn the stupid thing on. You think I'm going to tell her how to put the files in the file cabinets and stuff? She knows where it's at. I don't have to look for it. If I need to, I call her and say, where is this? Now, preacher, I don't care how you have it organized. Just tell me where to look. Well, it's here on this drawer behind this, and it'll say this. Okay. I don't think about, why in the world you put it there? I'd have never done. Okay, if I would have done it, it would have been done differently. Yes, then she couldn't have found it. It doesn't matter. I'm a pile person. Come and look at my office. I got piles. And I know what's in piles. And if you looked at my desk drawers, I got piles in there. And I know what's in there. My filing system is much different than hers. But she'll say, preacher, do you have that number? Yeah. Oh, there it is. She laughs at my filing system, but I find it. I might have to go to the other pile just in case I didn't put it back where I thought I put it. But I know it's in one of two piles. You say, I don't organize that way. Fine, that doesn't make you right, me wrong, or me right and you wrong. Why would I criticize that if we're getting the work done? Everybody understand? Sometimes we get aggravated and we don't show gentleness because it's not done the way we would do it. You ride with somebody. Well, why are you going this way? That's stupid. I would have drove that way. Okay, you're not driving. Let me drive. Shut up. I didn't ask you. I know where I'm going. Just because it's not your way doesn't mean it's a bad way. Everybody doing okay? All right, we got personal on that one. Moving on, number three. We are to be gentle followers. Not only are we to be gentle leaders, but we're to be gentle followers. Turn to Titus, just a page or so over. Titus chapter 2. Oh, I must hurry. Titus 2, verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Notice the word sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. And I didn't find the right verse here. I'll find it here eventually, but and it's I'm not finding it here. Okay. Well, I'll find it later and tell you later, but let me give you the point anyway. It's in reference to bosses and political leaders. It says that we're to be gentle. This is how we treat. Did you know when an officer pulls you over, whether you think you're guilty or not, you're supposed to be gentle? Everybody doing okay? notice I said when you get pulled over, not me. I'm not going to speed. Did you know when you disagree with somebody, you don't have to be a jerk? There are a lot of people I disagree with that if you saw us meet, you'd think we were good friends. And I disagree with them. But I'll treat them cordially. I'll be a gentleman with them. That's key word, gentleman. I can be a gentleman with somebody I disagree with. Doesn't mean I'm going to have them here preach. Doesn't mean they're going to come here and teach Sunday school. Did you know you can oppose somebody without attacking them? Did you hear that? That means even with your family. You can disagree. Husbands and wives can disagree and not hate each other. It's real easy. I know my wife doesn't see it my way. As long as she doesn't see me do it, it's okay. Just say, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And go on. did you know you cannot like a law, but you don't have to hate the enforcer of the law? Some of you get mad at the police officer that stops you for doing 45 and a 35 because you think it ought to be a 45, but he didn't make the law. He just has to enforce it. Some of you get mad at the waitress because the people in the back of the house cooking the food were belated, took too much time, but you take it out on the waitress as though it's her fault. The waitress wasn't the one doing the cooking. Everybody doing okay? So when you get bad timing on food, don't take it out on the waitress. Now, if you got bad service, that's a different story. But just because it took 30 minutes to get something that should have been in 5 minutes, don't take it out on the server. She can't serve it if it's not there. Smile. Some of you get mad. You call about a bill, and the person on the line to speak from India. Sorry, I had to say that. You all made those calls too, huh? I don't, Mr. Bush. Do we have somebody who speaks English? Oh, but some of you get upset because you were overcharged for something. That's not the person that charged you. The customer service agent isn't the person to get irate with. They're there to help you resolve it. They're not the ones that did it to you, but some of you get all wound up at them. They didn't do it. If you'll learn to treat people right and gently, you might get farther in life. Boy, that's good preaching. Amen, preacher. You know, disagreement on policy doesn't mean that we hate a person. I disagree with people, but it doesn't mean I hate them. Brother Greg, I might disagree with you one day, but it doesn't mean I hate you. No, I might hate Mrs. Lopez. No. but we don't have to be in total agreement. Just because I disagree with somebody doesn't mean I can't get along with them. Boy, that's good stuff. Number four, I got to hurry here. Look at James chapter 3. Hebrews, James chapter 3. Number four, God's wisdom is gentle and keeps you from having to always lose it. Look at James 3 for 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. What's the next word?
Gentle.
Okay, what's gentle? Wisdom is. And easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now watch this. If people are afraid to come to you and ask you a question or ask your advice, it's because you're not gentle. Fellas, some of you need to learn to be gentle with your children and gentle with your wives. You wonder why they won't come to you because you act like a raging bear most of the time. Who would want to come to that? They've seen you pop off so many times. Why, if they think they're vulnerable, why would they come to you and get popped off at? Wisdom has the ability to come unscrewed, but doesn't use it. Everybody doing okay? Did you know God doesn't force you to do anything? How about we deal with other people the way God deals with us? Before we start into something, if you were going to talk with your spouse about something that could cause an argument, how about you treat her or you treat him the way God would treat you in the situation? You'd have a lot less conflict in your home that way. I'm going to move on. Christianity is not a contest we win. It is a cross we hang on. Christianity is not about who's more right than the other person. We have eaten up the pride of competition so much that we think that we have to even compete with our own family. Let me show you how I live. And I really mean this. I hope you do more in the ministry than I have. Go for it. Hey, you want your kids to beat you? Yes. Say why? Because I'm not in competition. If you can have more people saved, I'll cheer you on, bud. If God will use you to influence more lives, I'm your biggest cheerleader. You say why? Because I'm not in competition. If you preach a better sermon, I'm going to steal it. man, he was preaching at the Valentine banquet, and he said something set me on fire, man. I wrote it down. I can't preach it here since he preached it to y'all, but I'm going to preach it somewhere. Man, what a deep truth. You say, what is that? Wisdom is gentle enough where people aren't afraid to ask you a question. Remember Miss Wally coming to my office the first time like a scared little puppy. And I thought, man, I don't know where she's been, but she's been whooped on. And I said, Miss Wally, let me tell you something. You can ask me anything. My hide's thick enough. You can't ask me something that would offend me. She said, well, we'll find out. And about 30 minutes later, she was, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. I was with the Myerses yesterday and talking with one of their family members. And he said, well, hey, have at it. And Mrs. Myers said, well, you can't offend me. My hide's a whole lot thicker than that. Trust me, you can't offend me with a question. Please don't take this the wrong way. It honors me that you would be willing to ask me that question. Number five, and I got to quit. We're to be gentle with employees. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Oh, this one's going to hurt. Everybody smile. I love you. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse number 16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only the good, not to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. Did you know that you're supposed to be gentle with your employees and your boss? And notice it doesn't say just to your good boss. I didn't say it. God did. says, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. I believe bosses ought to be good. But if they're not, I still believe in serving them and doing what's right. You know what one of the honors of a lifetime is for me next Sunday? A man that I worked for 3 years, he was my boss, will be here. And I'll get to honor him. About once a year, I've either sent him a letter or shot him an email that would say something like this: Stuart, thank you for hiring me when I was in Bible college. Thank you for taking time to train me and put up with me. Thank you for paying my salary so I could pay my school bill and get through Bible college so I could do the work of God all these years. About once a year or so, I'd send him a letter like that. I haven't seen him but once in 30 years. One time. And yet he sent us a bucket load of money. Say, why? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Can I tell you I agreed with everything he did? No, but I wasn't in his position to know those decisions. I didn't always like it. I remember when we got outvoted on playing the stupid country western music in the shop. I remember it. I disagreed with it. I said, I think you're kind of silly teaching your men to go against authority. Take this job in. Y'all know the song. I said, that's a real good song to have played in the shop of people here that you're trying to lead. I said, to me, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, I got outvoted. All right. Everybody doing all right? I didn't agree with the decision. Doesn't make him a bad guy. We should not act like the world acts as an employer. I really hope that as an employer to my employees, they look forward to coming to work and not dread it. I love coming to the work. I love doing the work of God. We have the greatest boss in all the world. That's true. And yet, some of you, if you don't get your 3% or 4% or 5% raise every year, you think you're going to go get another job because you're worth more than that. Everybody doing okay? You were hired to make money for the boss. You weren't hired to make money for you. I've learned enough about work that if you'll make the boss money, you'll make more money. You'll move up. My dad taught me, he said, son, if you get a job and you agree to work for this amount of money, I don't ever want to hear you complain about your wages because you're the dummy that agreed to it in the first place. He said, don't you ever complain about it. You go find another job before you complain. He said, if I find you complain, he said, I'm going to have your boss fire you. I'm not kidding. He said, if you think you're worth more money, work harder. He'll pay you. He'll let you know if you've been working hard enough to get a raise. Anybody doing all right? I've lived on a salary my whole adult life outside of Bible college. It doesn't matter if I work 40 hours or if I work 140 hours. The pay doesn't change. And you work on a salary, it's a whole different world. Since Brother Josh has come on board, I've slowed down a little bit. I'm down to about 60, 65 hours a week. Almost feeling lazy. But he's taken a load off to where I think I can carry the load a lot longer. We're getting ready to ramp some things up, just so you know. We've got 3 or 4 new things coming in the near future. And I'm getting excited. I got more in store than you know what to do with. You know, we're not to criticize how our work is run. We're supposed to do our jobs. And if we'll make our part most successful, great. And let God take care of the rest. Our actions, our words, our ethics at work are to be gentle, strong enough where you could complain, but gentle enough to where you don't. Just because you can complain doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Just because there's a complaint box doesn't mean you got to pack it every day. Gentleness is something that God calls greatness. It's not weakness. It's strength that chooses not to crush weakness. That's what gentleness is. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I've been a little long. I apologize. I think, though, in our society, we get a bit barbaric. We get a bit rough. God says, "Thy gentleness hath made me great."